you please turn with me to Romans 6, verses 1 through 14? Romans 6, verses 1 through 14. What shall we say, then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order of that. Just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in death like this, certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like this. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now that we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness, for sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace.
Morning. That wouldn't have been a fun start if I'd tripped right up front. I would have had y'all's attention, wouldn't I, if I'd landed on my face? Well, before I cause any more trouble, let's pray together and then we'll get into our lesson. Would y'all pray with me, please? Father, we are so very grateful for today. You know our struggles, Father. Sometimes bring yesterday or even try to extend ourselves into tomorrow in our minds to worry over what will be or what has been. But today, Father, help us to live in this moment to honor and glorify you. Help us, Father, to set aside the anxieties and worries, the shame and trouble of the past, all that we may carry with us, all that we may borrow from the future. Help us to put that aside, Father, and to find the peace that you give us through your Son. Father, we are grateful for the hope that you've provided for us through him, for the life that we have in him. So today, Father, help us to encourage each other, to be able to grow in our faith, keep ourselves rooted and grounded in you. For through Jesus we pray. Amen. I was about to say, it's been a few years ago, back in the olden days when I was a cable television technician. And David will know this. Back in the olden days when it was coax from head end to the back of the set. And you could get every channel that was offered for $40 a month. And so whenever I worked cable on that set, I can't remember which company it was. We got bought out eventually. But somebody up higher up decided they wanted all the technicians to take some courses to improve themselves. And so we did online courses through the mail back then. And they gave us these courses, and we'd take them, take a test, mail it in, get it back, and we get a certificate that was put into our file, I'm sure somewhere in HR, to show that we had taken this course. And I think somewhere in my attic or somewhere in my house, there are probably 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 of those pieces of paper that said that I did what the company wanted done, these certificates. You know, how those courses changed how I worked? Not at all. I learned some interesting things. But when I went out to work, when I went out to the home to figure out what the problem was, none of the courses provided anything that helped me with that. They never provided anything that changed the way I worked, but it did let me know how the whole system worked, how things came together. I feel like I'm quiet. How everything came together. And so, you know, it was interesting information, but it didn't change how I lived my life, how I did my job. And I wonder if at times we take things that God has given us, we take things in our lives with Christ, and we're like, I got that. Now, when you think about that, I think baptism sometimes falls into this category for us if we're not careful. Last week we talked about the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. He and Philip are talking there from Isaiah, and then Philip goes on to describe to him the good news of Christ and all that goes on. The eunuch comes along, and they come to some water, and he says, hey, here's some water. Why can't I be baptized? And so he was baptized, and then Philip moves on. What would be interesting is if there would have been a few more verses added to that chapter beyond where he just went on his way rejoicing. What happened when he got home? Well, if it was anything different. What did he do with his life? What was different from that point on? We know something had to have been because of who he has now become. But in our minds, sometimes it's like, look, he did it. Now we're done. And it has all comes together. Now, we know that when we look at that idea of baptism, it's not just something that was for him. That over and over, we get to see the example of it being done over and over, especially through the book of Acts. So when Peter, there on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:38, tells everybody who's out there going, what do we need to do? He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so what do? Down in 41, it says, those who accepted his message were baptized. 3,000 were added to the number that day. So we see this in practice as they do that. Earlier in chapter 8, before we get to the eunuch, we find Philip at Samaria, and he's there telling them about Jesus. And when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And then later on in chapter 10, we've got Peter hanging around with Cornelius, and ends up talking to them when he's still not sure whether he ought to be talking to Cornelius and all these folks in his house. And he sees what God does among them. He says, you know, look, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They've received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. We see over and over again folks that are being baptized. And so when we talk about for us, we know that, well, that's just something we assume, well, surely we would as well. It's not something out of the ordinary. It's not something odd. It's just part of what we know is that goes into our practice. And now with the idea of it being like a certificate, when I got during my job, if we know that it has more meaning than just, oh, look, you did it. Or it should. We go back over to Peter's statement in Acts 2:38, and what does he say? You were repenting, be baptized, and what happens? For the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We know something is going on there more than just, I'm glad you did it because God said. It says God has an intention and a purpose and a promise that goes along with it. In chapter 22, verse 16, when Paul's talking about what happens to him on that road where he is just knocked silly because of what God's doing, and after he's hung out for 3 days, not able to see anything, and now he's being told, you know, look, now, what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized and wash your sins away, calling on his name. So we know there's meaning to this practice of baptism than just, you just got wet. There's a meaning to it. Because of what God said. God made a promise, and we're going to believe his promise. And so as we put that together, we know God intends it to be something that we have as a practice. We know that it's something that God has said. It's got some meaning to it into our lives and spiritually. But the challenge for us is this. You know the thing about baptism? It is one of the most visible things that we do when you start out your life. We see it. Well, you sort of see it when we do it here, don't you? Unless you're upstairs. You know, you see two people get in there, and then you see one of them disappear, and then you see the other one, and then you see them get up, and they're wet. Well, if they got enough hair to show you that they're wet. You know, we know that. And so we see that and we go, they were baptized. And we get to talk about that. It's a whole lot different than when we talk about, we don't look at each other and because of anything in our face or in our bodies and go, oh, you've got faith. Or, you know, you've really, I can tell this has been a change in the way that you think. There's something that's gone on in you. We don't see that right away. That's something that's a long-term change in us. And so, but baptism is something that we can kind of get focused on because we can celebrate it because we know it's happened. We've seen it happen. And sometimes we can get really fixated on it and miss some of the other things that go along with it. And so the one thing that sometimes we may worry over that in the Bible never gets worried about is that, you know, in Scripture, when you think about all through the book of Acts, we don't know who did the baptizing except when you get to Acts chapter 8. Philip. You know, in Acts chapter 2, it doesn't tell us who did the baptizing. In fact, Acts chapter 10, where Peter says, you know what, we need to baptize these folks, it doesn't say who baptized them. Which tells us that God wasn't really focused on who did the baptizing. It is He. And we can get distracted with that. In fact, whenever Jesus, y'all remember, I don't have that verse, I should have put it here for you. Whenever Jesus, it talks about Jesus baptizing, and then the writer backs up and says, oh, well, it wasn't Jesus baptizing, His disciples were baptizing. And Paul, well, now here, I'm ahead of myself. And I think here's the caution we need to have, because it's something visible, he says we need to be careful with how we frame it to keep it framed right, not to have it something that's about a show. Paul says, you know, I am so grateful I didn't baptize any of y'all, except for Crispus and Gaius. And then he goes, well, wait a minute. Now, I did baptize the household of Stephanus, but I don't know anybody else. You see, Paul, wasn't even worried about, you know, I want to do it. It was like, you were baptized, but it wasn't about me. I wanted you to focus on Christ because Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. He said in that idea of it's not about having who's the one baptizing. It's what's going on in the person being baptized. But sometimes we worry about that aspect of things because we forget what really matters. Because ultimately what matters most in baptism is to get us focused on who. In baptism, who are we paying attention to? Who are we focused on? What are we remembering? The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. When we gather around this table, we're not here just to take a little bit of bread and a little bit of fruit of the vine. We're to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. In baptism, it's to point us and get us focused on the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And so when we have that idea of when we talk about what we talk about in the sense of when we're baptized, if somebody comes up and says, you know, how do you know that you're okay with God? Some folks sometimes forget that the answer isn't because I was baptized. It's because of Jesus. And baptism was part of that process. But the focus is Jesus Christ. And that's what baptism is intended to do, is to get us focused on Jesus Christ. And remember that in this, we are in Him. In this, that we're focused on Him and what He has done. And our hope, our salvation is in Christ. And it's to keep us connected in that. So now the thing about all of this is that we know, if we're not careful, we talk about baptism like it's something that's gone on into our permanent record. Y'all ever get threatened with that? If you don't straighten up, this is going to go on your permanent record. We'll talk about baptism as something that's gone on a permanent record, but we put it into our past as opposed to something that's meaningful in our present. But I believe that God intends for our baptism to be meaningful in our present today. That it's not just something we did and now we've checked off that box. It's something that has meaning to it that changes me today. And Romans chapter 6 is where we're going to get this in our scripture reading, because ultimately whenever Paul goes, he's got some folks he's been talking about. And, you know, look, grace is what gets us good with God, not law. And so he's gone on in Romans talking about that over and over again. And then you have some folks come along and say, well, I guess if it's all about grace, we can just do what we want, because then God will forgive us and we'll make God all more glorious because of His grace. And he goes, that is about the silliest thing I've ever heard. And so in Romans 6, he says, shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? He said, by no means. Where'd you get that? We are those who have died to sin. How can we live it in any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus, here's where he's going to bring what we did into today. He says we're baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Did y'all catch the whole process? He's reminding us we've been connected to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ through our baptism. That we died in that moment. We were buried with him. And now we live a brand new life because of him. And we come up out of those waters brand new. And he says, now we live differently because we're not who we used to be. We're brand new people. Every one of us. And because he wants us to lean back to that, it's like it's not a matter of, oh, look, I did that and now I'm good and it's gone on my permanent record. It's, look, I'll put on Christ in that moment and now I live that out. I remember in him that I have what lasts because of God's promise. In a sense, bless you, is that it's like on, you know, I found out that when we get up here and it's a wedding day and the couple makes their promises and they walk out together and we all celebrate and they're pronounced husband and wife, and after that moment, do you know they're not supposed to date any other people again? Did y'all know that? Why not? And made a promise. And now, we may think that's silly, but that's what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 6. He says, why would we want to live like we used to without Christ? Because we've been joined together with him, and now we're different people. And the thing about it, now see, I tell you, Beth and I have been married long enough, I don't remember not being married. I heard I was not married before we were married. But it's just part, that's who I am. I'm not having to get up in the morning and say, Beth, are we still married? I'm not supposed to date anybody else, am I? And ask her that at all. That's just part of, I am a different person in that promise. And in baptism, we become different people to where we change how we live our lives. That it carries a meaning throughout life because now this is who I am in Christ. You know, we're not who we used to be. He says, we have been united with him in a death like his. If we've been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. And we got a deal here. Can you imagine coming up to somebody who has died and they're insistent to you that they didn't? And you say, I was at your funeral. I saw you there in the coffin. I know that you're gone. Now you think, if you're talking to them, then something else is going on. When we see somebody baptized, what we're seeing is, I saw you die. And because you died in that moment, you're not who you used to be. All of that is put away. It's gone. You're not that person any longer. And because you're not that person any longer, because we belong to Christ, we are his in every way, we no longer live like that. We live a whole different life. It continues every day of our lives that we are this different person. Verse 11, 14 in Romans 6. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. See, the change has happened. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master because you're not under the law, but under grace. We have been changed because of what God has done for us in Christ. And in the moment, because of we believed God's promise by faith, that we declared to him, I don't want to be that anymore. I want to get rid of it. We were buried with him in baptism. We came up and he says, you're a brand new person. You're not who you used to be. Live who you are now. That's a learning process, isn't it? It's not, it, Don't you wish it was instantaneous when we, after we're baptized, that we don't have any more temptations like we used to? Wouldn't that be nice? That doesn't mean we our lives are wiped away. It means we're no longer tied to that, and now we're learning, how do I live this out? Who am I from now on? The focus of our lives now is living out the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what we talk about. Do you know if you're all right with God? And we say, I know I'm all right because of what God has told me and because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God made a promise, and I'm going to put my hope in Him in every way. And so I'm going to live that out in every way. And so I know in that now I struggle because I'm learning in the process. Every step of the way I'm learning. You know, one of the most fun things to do is premarital counseling. Because how much did any of us know that are married about marriage before we were married? We didn't have a clue, did we? And I can sit to a couple that, and we'll talk about it, and they'll go, yeah, yeah. And I'll say to the young lady, you know, you're marrying a knucklehead. He's not as smart as you think he is. You're going to have to figure this out. And I'll look over at him and say, you know, well, she's wonderful. She'll be good. Oh, maybe not. But for both, we know they've got a learning process coming ahead of them. And there are going to be ups and downs and challenges. And everybody that's been married long enough to look back and go, man, if only I knew then what I know. The only way we know now what we know now is because of all the struggle we went through to get to where we are now. Now we know the meaning like we didn't know then. And with baptism, it's the same way. How many of us now would say, man, I didn't understand that when I was baptized, I didn't have a clue. You knew what you knew, and you got a good start. But to live out the meaning of your baptism means you've had to learn along the way. To grow in your understanding, to grow in your knowledge of what God has intended in that moment. If we had to have perfect knowledge and understanding of what God meant and promised before we could be baptized, none of us would be there yet. But in this moment, there's so much I didn't know and understand, but I'm learning as I go. But the point is not, I should have known better. That's not the thing. The point is, at my baptism, God wanted me to focus on Jesus, on His death, burial, and resurrection. And every day that follows, God wants me to remember Jesus and His death, burial, and resurrection. And to live out what that means in my life every day. That I'm not who I used to be, but I'm growing and becoming the person God wants me to be in Jesus every day and every moment of my life. I'm going to live that out. I had to ask. Michelle didn't remember him. Maybe some of y'all remember. Y'all remember Bobby Clark from way back, late 80s, early 90s? Michelle's not old enough. She was still a little one back then. But he would speak at youth rallies in this area, and he was built like a fire plug. So tall, and shoulders were probably about the same width as he was tall. He was just solid. But whenever he spoke, he always led the kids in the same phrase. I am God's child. I am somebody because God don't make no junk. And we look at that and we know because of what God has done for us. Well, first and foremost, God has made us and given us life. And in that we have value. But in putting on Christ in baptism, becoming His children, becoming His sons and His daughters in Christ, says a whole lot more about how we're seen and how we're loved. We may not fully understand yet what that means, but we're growing into it. And so every day what we do now is we strive and we work to live out who we are in Christ. You know, the idea, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? It's not something that we just say, it's something we live. Have you changed what's going on inside of you and the way that you think and the way you live out, the way you look at life and all that goes on? Has that changed? It's going to be something you grow and learn, but it's going to be lived out in your life. Have you declared what's going on in here to know that people know that you believe that Jesus is the Christ? And it's going to be lived out. It's so much more than words. It's not just, have you been baptized? But are you living out what that means in your life every day? Showing who you are now in Christ and that you're His child and becoming more and more like Him. We want to take all of those things and realize that this is how I live my life because of who I am in Christ. We are God's children in Christ. And He seeks so much for us to live out who we are every day. Now, if you've had some challenges in that, some struggles in that, we're here together as family to encourage each other, to pray for one another. And if you need those prayers, please let us know. Or maybe today is the day, you know, I'm going to trust God to put on Christ in baptism and become His and to live that out in every day. So if you need to respond, would you come now as we stand and sing?